declare this ordinary meeting of Central Table Lounge Water open, and thank you all for your attendance. I'd like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we are all meeting at the moment. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, both past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to other Aboriginal Australians who are present. In accordance with the CTW Code of Meeting Practice, this meeting will be audio recorded and will be uploaded to Council's website within 2 weeks after the meeting. Council does not accept any responsibility for any verbal comments made during the Council meeting, which may be inaccurate, incorrect, defamatory, or contrary to law. Full details of the statement, recording the meeting statement, appear in the business papers of this meeting. Now move to the next item on the agenda. Apologies, I see everyone's present, so there's no apologies to be recorded. Any applications for leave of absence, Mr. Joel Muncat?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Now, item five, confirmation of minutes from the previous meetings. There are three meetings we need to confirm the minutes for. I don't have those details in front of me, but actually, the first meeting was the extraordinary, which one was that, Jack? Can you help me?
Yeah, the ordinary meeting of 17th of June is the first meeting.
Ordinary meeting on the 17th of June. Let's deal with that first. Those minutes have been, those minutes have been circulating. Have any comments on those minutes?
No.
Moved by Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Durkin. Those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. The second set of minutes, Gav, were the meeting the.
30th of June. Yeah, the extraordinary meeting is the 30th of June.
Extraordinary meeting on the 30th of June?
Yep.
They've been circulated. Anyone got any comments on those minutes? No, someone like to move those? Councillor Benbrick, seconded Councillor Durkin. Those in favor? Carried. And finally, there was the minutes of the other extraordinary meeting we had, I think, on the 29th of July to the operational plan. They've been circulated. There was a second set of minutes sent out correcting a slight issue with those minutes, so it's the second set we're talking about now. Any comments on those? If not, someone like to move those?
No.
Councillor Walker, seconded Councillor Benbrick. Thank you. Those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Does anyone like to raise any matters arising from any of those minutes and otherwise dealt with on the agenda? If not, we'll move on. Disclosures of interest. Now, we're talking here about disclosures of interest for items at this meeting. Have we received any disclosures, Gav?
No, Mr. Chairman.
No disclosures of interest?
No.
Public forum, next item. Any public forum?
No, Mr. Chairman.
No public forum. Item eight, Chairman's Minute. There's no Chairman's Minute. Item nine, Councillor Representation. As is traditional, I'll go first on this one. It's only been 2 weeks since our last meeting, so there's not been much time. I have attended a meeting of the joint organisation, which was a Zoom meeting held with the Board of the JO and the Deputy Prime Minister of Sandwich on the 31st of July. Pretty brief meeting. It's the only thing I've got to report. Anyone else have anything to report?
I had a meeting with Noel and myself, had a meeting with the Griffith Bowling Club regarding some connections over there.
Thank you. Paul? Nothing else? Okay, that will be noted. Notices of motion. Any notices of motion for this meeting?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. No, no notice of motion. So we move on to reports of staff. One, disclosures of interest, which is a reminder of all of us to get our paperwork done. Someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Best, second, and Councillor Durkin. Any comments? I think it's all pretty self-explanatory. You may well have got a few of these already, Gavin, from councillors, I'm not sure, or are you all still waiting on us?
Yeah, still waiting, Mr. Chairman. But if the councillors want a copy of last year's return sent out to them, just let Bea know and she'll send those out for you.
Okay. No more comments on that. I'm sure we'll all run away from this meeting and get our paperwork done straight away.
Yep.
All those in favour? Carried. It's called item three, but it's item two on page four, local government water management conference. Would someone like to move that?
I'll move that. Yeah.
Councillor Best, seconded by, Councillor Newstead, sorry, John, I didn't see you there. You should sit closer to the camera.
Yeah, I know.
We've had, the water conference divided into two. We had a video conference and we've got supposedly in-person conference in October at Narrabri. Whether that actually happens in person or not, it's another matter, I guess. There's got an extensive report on what happened during the video conference with the Deputy Chairman, myself and Gavin attended. We'd like to add anything to your report, Gav. I think we can assume we've all read that.
Yeah, no, just the thing, and it's in my report too. Following the meeting, I sent a subsequent email to Dr. Jim Bentley welcoming a meeting with Jim to discuss Lake Roland's augmentation project, as well as the potential for bulk supply for CTW and additional water security for the region as well. I'm yet to hear back from Dr. Bentley or from Jim Bentley. However, he did say in his presentation that he's willing to meet with anyone, anytime regarding regional water security and moving forward, especially regarding this state water strategy. So I'll send another follow-up email or get in contact with his staff to see if I can push that along to have an opportunity to meet with Jim. So.
So you'll send a follow-up to
him? I will, yes. Yeah.
Okay, now the recommendation is that the conference in October, that the deputy chair, the general manager and the director of operations go together with any councillors who would like to attend. So now's an opportunity. Any council would like to express an interest in attending that meeting, assuming it's still going ahead, either speak up now or get in touch with Gavin after the meeting.
I would be interested, because of the Lake Rollins project that was over, I said if I wait until we get a bit closer, if that's all right.
Yeah, it's just we'll put in for the early bird registration to save a bit of money on registration, but. Usually you can register right up until, I think, a week or two before the conference, so you can let us know then. And the other thing is, the big thing is accommodation. I've already reserved accommodation, but the sooner we get in, the better. But as the chairman said, who knows what's going to happen with COVID as it continues, but at least we're prepared.
Yeah, have you heard any talk around water circles, Gavin, as to whether the chance of it actually going ahead, good or bad?
I think still good at this stage, and it's probably more from local government New South Wales, which is understandable seeing it's their conference, but I haven't heard anything negative lately that it won't proceed, but but they're usually pretty good on updating, providing an update. So I'll keep an ear out and let councillors know accordingly if I hear anything further.
Okay. Any more comments on that? Any questions? If not, I put that. Those in favour?
Aye.
That's carried. Item 3, page 7. The other conference, the Government of New South Wales annual conference in November. Someone like to move that one? Councillor Durkin, second Councillor Newstead. Thank you again. It's traditional for the chair, the deputy chair, and the general manager to attend this. Anyone got any comments? Comments on this item? Questions of Gavin? Any interest in other councillors attending this? No? Okay, I'll put that. Those in favour?
Aye.
That's carried. Item 4, page 8, the Lake Rollins Augmentation Project. Recommendations that the council notes progress being made. Someone like to move that? Yeah, Councillor Durkin, Councillor Best, thank you. So, Gav, do you want to just fill us in? This is probably the big project we've got on at the moment, along with the Bukhara series of projects. What I'd be interested in is just some feeling view as to whether the government is going sort of cold on the idea that they should spend this money. I'm a little bit concerned when they, according to your report, they said, oh, now that Lake Rollins is full, we really better do a bit more work on secure yield. And then the other comment that on the Tarkal Dam connection project, they want to look at how it would operate if they don't enlarge Lake Rollins.
Yeah.
So both of those suggested to me that that we might be in some headwinds here. So what's your take on all of that?
Yeah, so through you, Mr. Chairman, just following on my report, as I reported at the last meeting, we're at a hold point now with part of the funding deed to get feedback or a concurrence from the project management office from the Safe and Secure program to proceed with one of the options. The preferred option we put forward in the strategic business case was for enlarging or raising the existing wall by 2.2 metres to shore up obviously the supply for our consumers. Yeah, the feedback we're getting is that now that Lake Rollins is full, they wanted us to do a further secure yield study on the now that the dam is recovered. We've done that work through Peter Cloak, and that's been submitted to DPI Water for consideration.
Just pausing there. I thought a secure yield study, the 5-10-10 rule, they looked at all sorts of long-term issues, and just because we've had a rain event and the dam's full, surely that doesn't change the long-term secure yield of the catchment.
You wouldn't think so, but that's what we've been instructed by DPI Water to do. And in Peter Cloak's original secure yield study, we engaged him to do it initially, he said that he would do a follow-up report once the dam had recovered. So DPIE Water have been pushing along those lines. The additional work has further supported the secure yield for Lake Rollins. And we've also been able to provide more information, more modelling that we've done through Premise regarding the estimation of how much water is spilled over Lake Rollins over the years, and especially in 2016. We estimated that around, I think it was 53 gigalitres spilled over Lake Rollins. So that has supported the case further. However, they have brought in evaporation issues, as in once you're raising the dam wall or increasing the surface area of Lake Rollins, well then you've got to factor in a higher rate of evaporation. So our question back to DPIE Water is, obviously, what about the secure yield done to or is being done, or who's been doing the modelling for Carport Dam? obviously it's got a bigger surface area too, and if you're pushing, transferring water from Lake Rollins across the Carcor Dam, you're going to have a fairly big rate of evaporation as well based on climate change factors which were factored in for our secure yield study. So DPIE Water, the feedback we've got from them is that they are, and as you touched, as you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, looking at the additional benefits for securing water for the area, and especially from for Lake Rollins and Carcor Dam, with the implementation of the pipeline from Lake Rollins to Carcor Dam, with or without an enlarged Lake Rollins. We've been pushing DPIE Water just recently that, or just reminding them that this funding deed was based on augmenting Lake Rollins. So we want to proceed on that basis for town water security. We're just waiting to get feedback from DPIE Water by pushing that case to say, well, we want to move on with this project. It is vital that we augment Lake Rollins in either raising the wall or a new dam downstream, and that the pipeline will complement the augmentation of Lake Rollins, especially when we're talking about town water security. So my feeling at the moment is, because the whole point was supposed to be 2 weeks for the concurrence, we've now been advised a couple of weeks back, we were advised it could take 6 to 8 weeks. So now we're at that 4 to 6 week period for this additional modelling to be done. And as I said, I'm just waiting to hear back from DPIE Water regarding our push to progress with this project based on augmenting Lake Rollins as we agreed with the original funding deed. So I'm hoping to hear something back from DPIE Water today or tomorrow, and I'll let the councillors know. I don't know, Noel, did you want to add anything further with regards to our conversations?
Through the chair, we are holding DPIE to account for the decisions that they're making or the progress that they're pushing. And one of the items that we're driving is that in 2016, which was our last spillover of the dam before the drought, both dams were full. So irregardless, if we had put a pipeline in, it would have made no difference to what we've just occurred, because we can't pull any more water out, both dams filled. So that's why we say, by adding a pipeline in after the augmentation of Lake Rollins, we'll complement that water for Carcor Dam. It doesn't give us resilience through drought to bring water back from Carcor Dam to Lake Rollins without that augmentation.
Yeah, and I would have thought a line to push you probably have is that the one thing that the overspilling of Lake Rollins shows now, when you look at Carcor Dam, which I think yesterday was 19.9% still, all of that overspilled water would have been stored. And the other thing it demonstrates is that enlarging the wall of Lake Rollins is not a futile exercise. There'll be water to be stored. Unlike what a lot of people are saying about Wahanga Dam, you know, it hasn't spilled over, you know, 2 times in the last 30 years or something. It's with Lake Rollins, you know that if there's more capacity in it, it'll be used.
Yeah, exactly. And our messaging has been consistent all the way through. I've been keeping James McTavish and Tom Chesson in the loop too with regards to Lake Rollins. And the message I got back from James McTavish the other day was that regarding the spill, that's the best news or the best photos I've seen all year. So there is support for Lake Rollins. They know that it is vital, especially what we've been through. And just I wasn't surprised, but just the huge turnaround of Lake Rollins once the catchment was wet, how quickly it picked up, and we've been emphasising that message through to the pollies as well as the bureaucrats. I know we're biased towards the project because it's ours, but it just makes sense.
Just on top of all that, the COVID is sort of, we've started this talk around now that there's going to be influx of population into regional areas. Wouldn't that sort of support your push for need more people coming to regional areas, we need more water.
Can I just say something too, David? Just endorsing everything that's been said. For me, and especially with Wyambla, like they're talking about spending $650 million to raise a wall by 10%, or 10 metres, I should say, and it may never fill, it may never get to that, whereas, as Gavin said, Lake Rowlands within 2 days went from 65% to overflowing. You know, like, doesn't it just make common sense to raise the wall and capture that extra 4.5 bloody gig that could go in there? I just don't know where they're coming from. I hope they listen to this. I think they're bloody stupid. Fair income, it's just a given, you know, like, $10 to $15 million to double the size of the wall, $650 million to raise the wall by 10% of 10 meters at Wyambla, and it may never ever get to that if things, you know. That's, anyway, I get frustrated when I hear this stuff.
My take is I'm very optimistic that the government is actually looking at building its a dam downstream, and that's what the delay is. More than not doing any of the augmentation. So I'm trying to keep very positive about it, because to me that makes more sense. We need to get our big projects up and running to try and assist with the recovery of New South Wales. So I'm believing that they're looking at those projects downstream and trying to make good of the project upstream rather than no dam augmentation at all.
Through the chairman to Noel, but how long would it take to get another wall 2.5 km downstream put in? Like, that could be
5 years.
5 years? Okay, that's better than what I thought. But okay. How long would it take to put the wall up at 2.5 meters?
The contracts and things like that, you need to do all of the design. You'd be, while you're doing that first year of getting your environmental impact studies done, you would then start engaging in with all your other contracts. So it's not a large wall that goes across that, hence why the price reflects for building that downstream. But again, to my way of thinking, they have to do something. They cannot walk away. The secure yield study that they look or base their decisions on in not doing any augmentation of Lake Rowlands and allowing funding to go to the Macquarie River to give resilience for Orange City Council, they knew then that the secure yield was saying we would end up where we are now. So you can't make a decision on we can't do anything. You have to do something.
Yeah. Any more questions on this one? I think if you're expecting to hear back from DPI Water shortly, some sort of update to councillors on this, which is, as I said earlier, the critical project, not only the critical project going on at the moment, but the most critical project that councillors had before it for a long while. So I think keeping councillors informed on what's going on is pretty important.
Yeah,
yes, I'll do that. But the only comment I'd make is I agree with Noel. I think we've just got to keep positive. We know it's a great project. We know the effects it's going to have. We're talking about more linkages around our region. We know how important it is to so many people. So I just think we've got to stay positive with it. We've got to keep, as they say, keep pushing the barrow with it. I think the people in government are going to realise that this is an important project. In the end, I think we're going to achieve what we want to achieve. I think we can be negative. We've got to be positive and keep going in that vein, anyway.
Yeah. Even though it's frustrating, we've got to be patient. And as I said, we've been advocating for 20 years. We've finally got some traction. And we'll keep pushing. Yeah.
All right. And Gav, right at the end of your report, you say that DPI Water said some initial modelling is being scoped to look at how the pipeline would operate. Are they doing that themselves? Is it Water New South Wales doing that, or are we doing that? How's that been done?
The DPIE Water are doing that in consultation with Water New South Wales, is my understanding, David, and that's the the feedback that I've got from David Swan, the regional water manager for DPIE Water. So, as I said, I'm hoping to hear back from David, David Swan, either this afternoon or tomorrow or by the end of the week at least. So.
Okay, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. I think we need to stay positive. The advantages of this for the region, you know, so be there's so many, like the late item we've got on today's agenda, there's so many linkages being considered, particularly a big new dam makes an enormous amount of sense when coupled with the linkages. On its standalone, doesn't make all that much sense, far more water than we need. But as a regional asset, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Okay, thanks for that discussion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Gary, thank you. Move on to item 5, page 10, which is a recommendation to approve a donation for a bubbler at the Lyndhurst Public School. Someone like to move that?
Move it.
By Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Pembrick. Thank you very much. I just a little bit of background here. The as they said in their letter, they have applied to Blaney Council for the same amount as a contribution from Blaney Council for the bubbler, and the Financial Assistance Committee has considered that and is recommending that be approved. It won't be approved until the Blaney Council meets next Monday, so one half of it is almost in the bag, and they're asking for the other half from CDW. You need to add anything to that, Gavin? Anyone got any questions of Gavin Mason's fund?
I think it's good for CDW to be out there. Little towns around Blaney and that, Lyndhurst and all that, the more that we can give them about, I think it's great.
Yeah, and just through you, Mr. Chairman, I spoke to the principal at the Lyndhurst Primary School, and she was very very happy for CTW to come along as well once they do open the water bubbler and have CTW representation at that opening as well. So, and she said it'll be a great community project. It won't only be not only be used by the school children, but also it'll be open to the public, people passing by. So, a great community project that CTW can be involved in.
I hope we're over COVID-19 by the time it's open, because I think at the moment every bubbler in every public place has been blocked off. Yes, Craig.
Just wondering if there's any help that our staff can give the school with that project going to do.
As in in-kind support? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've thought about that, but at the moment I think they've just got you can see the quote there, a plumber to come and install that, but by all means, I've talked to Noel, and if we can offer any in-kind support, we'll happily do that.
Right. They need one bubbler in place of the water filling stations that we put in the other places.
Yeah, it's just for the school at this stage, so yeah. But in the past, as councillors know, we've partnered with our constituent councils in purchasing the bubblers or the water refilling stations. And I'm sure council will be happy to proceed with that as the need arises.
Okay, thanks very much. I think councils have expressed their very strong support for this, Gav. So all those in favour?
Aye.
Very. Moving right on, item 6, page 13, the update on outstanding resolutions. Someone like to move that? Councillor Pembrick, Councillor Newstead, I think, isn't it? Yes, Councillor Newstead. Thank you. There's a comprehensive list there. If you've got any questions on outstanding resolutions. Move that one, Councillor Walker, seconded Council, yes, thank you. anyone got any questions on the report? That's pretty quick. Okay, those in favour? That's carried.
Yeah, just added a comment through you, Mr. Chairman, just with the investments. We've rolled a couple of investments lately, term deposits. Unfortunately, with COVID, impacts of COVID, the interest rates have continued to drop down. So you probably see from that report, there's one interest rate there of 0.83%. So it's pretty sad state of affairs at the moment, but unfortunately, it's out of our control. But we just keep investing in accordance with our investment policy, and that's all we can do at this stage. So just bring that to council's attention.
We're not alone when it comes to not getting much return on investments.
Yeah.
I think that was passed. Those in favour, yes, Karen, thank you. Item 8, uncompleted works to be revoked, page 24. Someone like to move that one. Councillor Durkin, thank you. Councillor Benrick. There's a comprehensive list of the revotes. Any questions in relation to those?
Just with the Crackable water supply feasibility study, we spent no money out of that at all.
No, we have, through you, Mr. Chairman, we have spent money, we have incurred costs. However, we haven't claimed that back through the through DPI water yet, but we'll start to claim that funding, shortly. And that was 100% funded as well, so
yeah.
100K. So we're just holding those costs at the moment, but we will be claiming. And just an update on that Craigable water supply investigation. I met with Premise last week before, I think it was. They're ready to go with the public meeting. We've just got to consult with the local community there on how we can hold that with the COVID restrictions in place. So we're looking at holding it at the hall, but obviously we've got to make sure there's adequate spacing there to hold that public meeting. I'm not too sure obviously how many people would turn up at that meeting, but we've just got to make sure we're prepared and that we're covering ourselves with those preventative measures. With those restrictions, so we'll keep councillors informed as that's organised and progressed, but it is ready to go.
I've got one question which is not really on the outstanding expenditure on the land infiltration road, the car park and the access road, just $14,000 to be spent for the current year. What's the problem for me to ask, what's the situation with the naming of the building?
Yeah, so with that, Mr. Chairman, we've just been working with Josh Sliger regarding having his family members available for that opening. But I'll touch base again with Josh. I think with COVID, he's got relatives or an auntie up in Queensland, so we've been restricted in that respect. But I'll touch base again with Josh to push that along to see when we can proceed with that opening.
Yeah, I would think we probably should fix a date by which we want to do it, and ask the family to nominate which date they prefer or something like that. Otherwise, it'll just drag on.
We'll get on with that and make sure that's done. So.
Okay. So, one general question. Yeah, most of this money is grant money that we've not spent. We're going to spend next year well over $1 million of it. Bit over $300,000, which is money we didn't spend last year. Does that send a signal we're not being able to get through the works we've programmed?
Well, I think at this stage, David, we have been quite busy, as councillors are aware. And I was going to mention that we will be even more busier this coming year, finalising these projects. So we have got these projects programmed to proceed this year. So we'll push forward in that respect. and we'll bring in additional resources as required to make sure we do meet those programs. Noel, did you want to add anything further regarding that? I suppose it's with now that Lake Rollins has filled, it takes a bit of pressure off with our emergency drought projects. But obviously, we still want to carry on with those works, so we're prepared for the next droughts as they present themselves. So, David, we are aware of that. We have got a lot on our plate, and it's great to be busy. But we've got to make sure that we achieve what we've set out to achieve as well.
Yeah, I just think from a council's point of view, when there's 350,000 lots spent and it's rolled over to next year, and we know we're all busy. Just send a message. We might need to look at, you know, staffing or some assistance or something. If we've programmed all these things to be done in the current financial year, in addition to everything else we're going to do.
Yeah, yep. Now that's it. And historically, we've tried to do as much as we can in-house, but we will look at that as additional resources or to get additional short-term resources in to complete those jobs. And as we appreciate too that the councillors are fully supportive of that, of us doing that to get these works done. So we'll proceed on that basis.
I think that's from the council's point of view. It's better to get all this work done rather than just keep deferring it. Let's get on with it. If we need more resources, then let's have a look at that.
Yep, we'll do that. Thank you.
Any more questions? No, those in favour, that's carried. The next item is 9, page 27, which is a report on drought projects, etc. So I'd like to move. We have the report. Yes, Councillor Doak and Councillor Best, thank you very much. Any questions in relation to this one?
I just wondered about the there with the Gould Gold War set up. How with our water allocation over the drought, how close were we to our water allocations over the last last 2 years?
We
have a topic area.
Through the chair. We haven't had undue pressure because of drawing additional water out there. So we have been checking on how we're progressing, and we have been certainly looking at our entitlements versus our usage. It hasn't raised any alarm for us to think ahead to go, we need to do something different than what we've done. So if I could answer in that question in that way, but I will come back with some figures for you, Councillor.
You might take the question on notice here to have a look over the last 2 years as to what our bill of long wars been compared to our licence supply.
Yes.
Any more? I guess I've got one question I've got is, you don't seem to hear now about the 12 meg reservoir, which is the big component of the Cowra CDW project. What's happening there at the moment?
My apologies, Mr. Chairman. I have left that one out. The 12 meg reservoir, at the moment we have a hold on the positioning of the exact location for that 12 meg reservoir. There was a possibility of another scarred tree, Aboriginal scarred tree, which was raised whilst we were going through our environmental, or our REF, environmental factors. Today we have an archaeologist out to have a look at the whole of our area, including the scarred tree that had been noted back in 2002 when the new water treatment plant have been built. It's the comment from the archaeologist was there was no records of any scar tree in our area, even though we had one fenced off. So I have my fingers crossed that it is not an Aboriginal scar tree. It could be a European scar tree that will be the outcome out of this, but we will know tomorrow, and that will enable us then to progress ahead with our 12 meg reservoir. So the costings for the 12 meg from a expressions of interest had a fairly large range of figures for costing. The biggest component was the unknown factor of the earthworks doing a cut and fill. We've reverted back now to looking at two components of our request for tender, where earthworks will be removed from the building of the 12 meg reservoir, so we can keep control of that unknown part of the project. So that's the way forward that we're looking at progressing at the moment. The values of building a 12 meg reservoir do fit within our budget. However, the unknown is always the earthworks as the precursor to the build. So that's why we're looking at, well, we will be going out with a second request for tender now for the earthworks as soon as that location can be verified that the scarred tree doesn't pose an impact on us.
Okay. And what's the timing on that now?
If it is a scarred tree, there's a process that we can go through of a 3-month process of putting in an application to remove the scarred tree and relocate the scarred tree. So our initial thoughts would be to remove both scarred trees that are there and actually bring them down for public viewing at the entrance to our Kapoor water treatment plant. So we can actually remount them and people driving past can actually view these scarred trees and put a plaque on them and things like that. So there's a 3-month process for that to occur before an approval can be given. And then the approval, once that's given, it ends up to being about a 6-month process before we could relocate. So we would be doing a lot of background work to try and finish this project, knowing that that is a possibility, and still the D-Day is going to be the end of June of this financial year. That's what's being driven by Infrastructure New South Wales and DPIE for this project. So we can build it in that time, even with that delay of 6 months, but there'll be a lot of concurrence with the projects being able to move forward. So, but again, it's up in the air. Today we would have a much better idea after the archaeologist has gone through and given us either a tick to say it is or it's a cross to say it's not.
So did you say that the funding agreement requires us to spend the money by June next year?
The drive from the funding deed is to complete all projects by the end of the financial year.
Okay. So we're not party to the funding. That Orange is party to the funding deed. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. And that's been signed already, I assume.
Not correct, from what I understand.
Yeah, it hasn't been signed yet. They were waiting for the I think it's the final part, the heads of agreement, to be signed off by the three councils and then issued to, or a copy issued to Infrastructure New South Wales, Mr. Chairman. So I think a draft may be coming through to us in the next couple of days, so for review.
So the participants' agreement is still being drafted?
That's correct, yes, yeah. There was a part in there that they wanted, that Orange City Council raised, that they wanted to make sure, similar to the water supply agreements with having a dispute resolution process in that heads of agreement. So yeah, I think the last meeting we had, it was a Steerco meeting last week. With Infrastructure New South Wales included, it was, I don't know, 90% or 95% of the way on the way to being signed off for that funding deed, or that part of Infrastructure New South Wales was funded part.
All right, well, I assume that'll come through, seeing that we've actually committed to ordering various components for the pump station.
Yeah.
We get that money.
Well, the feedback from Infrastructure New South Wales at the latest meeting was very positive, and yeah. Oh, there's already 15% that's been funded, approved by the Safe and Secure program, DPI Water. Yeah, so we've got that money. Yeah, we've been able to utilise that money. It was $815,000, I think, from memory, or $850,000. Yeah, so we've been utilising that for preliminary works that we've been undertaking.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
Yep.
And then, who's actually drafting the participants agreement?
It was based on your original draft, David, and then it's been to and fro from from the three councils or three councils. So it was with Orange lately with the inputting that dispute resolution process, and then that'll come from Orange out to the other. I think it's actually
we've got it now.
Oh, it's we've received it.
We've got it. We've made some comments back between us, C2W and Cowra. We've had conversations, and they're wanting any replies or comments back to Orange by this Friday.
All right, yeah. So we can flick that. We'll flick a copy of the. We'll send a copy of that to the councillors if they want to cast their eye over that to have a look as well before we provide any further comments.
Yeah, I think was this the project where we resolved at one of our previous meetings that the agreements would have to be approved by the council?
That's right, yeah. It's actually my outstanding resolutions that we would have I think I put in there back to the October meeting. It was that, as well as the water supply agreement, the revised water supply agreement with Cowra. So that's in train at the moment as well. So,
all right. Well, it'd be good if you could send those around at the moment so that it doesn't come with a rush at the end.
Yep.
Yes, Councillor West.
Oh, just a question. Do we have any entitlement for a project management fee on this or not?
That's my understanding. Yes, we would. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So we've got. So,
through the chair, there's a 2% loading that has been that Orange is using for their project management or contract management, and each council that is delivering the project on their own terms or on their own turf are responsible for the project management for that particular project. So C2W is responsible for the building of the Woodstock pump station as well as the 12 meg reservoir, and we have a component in that costing for project management.
Yeah. Well, just back to the previous one, we were talking about, just whether or not how much money is there to hire someone to actually manage this particular project. We've got 10 months to go till June, and building that reservoir is going to take, it's going to be a few months in the actual process of building itself. So whether or not we need to hire someone out of that funding to just sort of get the project going. I know you're doing best, I'm just to get it tied in.
And again, through the chair, we have engaged consultants to help us with that, especially doing the preliminary. And that's Camaro Resources has been helping us out with that as well.
Yeah.
And it is our intention, or my intention, to continue to allow or have that support from Camaro Resources.
Assisting delivering the project. So, and just going back to that, to the comment or the query from the chairman about a lot of projects we got on. Obviously, we got the funding for the augmentation project in December, or the announcement in December, as well as the Cowra project as well. So obviously, that's put a lot of pressure on our resources, but we are aware of that and we're working through that to get these projects completed.
All right, thanks. Good discussion. Any more comments?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Through the chair, if I could just make one comment, and it's to do with our late item report. You'll notice in item two of my report that we're looking at the CTW is engaged with DPIE regarding the Mangaroo bores and doing some work with Gould on bore in lieu of doing spending money in Mangaroo. This also feeds in with our late item report of doing work at Goolagong bore as well. So we've got two pathways, if you like, that that can add weighting to doing the work that we believe would be best for CTW, rather than wasting or spending money on Bangaroo boards, which would be very unlikely to be used. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I did, when I read that report in National Parks, it did occur to me that it's an added reason why we might get some funding for some extra wall capacity in Goolagong.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Al. All those in favour?
Aye.
That's carried. Next item is 10, page 29, truck lane K. So I'd like to move that. Yeah, I think Councillor Benbrick and Councillor Best, they're very appropriate to move that. This could be one of the last times we have this on the agenda. Any questions? No? Okay, all those in favour?
Aye.
It's carried. Then we move on to page 30, item 11, maintenance of the systems.
Move.
Yeah, moved by Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Newstead, thank you. Any questions on that report? No, I've got one question on the trunk mains. Just so that we're doing ongoing inspections. What do we do? How do we do those ongoing inspections? I just noticed that the main brakes seem to be, you know, getting more and more. And just wondering what we do to inspect.
Certainly. So, through the chair, the our maintenance of our mains, especially our trunk mains, is where we drive along the actual pathway of the trunk mains, and we're looking for areas that are green or signs of leakage. This is part of our leakage program to reduce leakage throughout our system. So it's a visual inspection, as well as then we're looking at leaking hydrants or things like that as well. So any maintenance needs to be done along those areas. So, you know, just keeping in check of our system. So it's a true drive pass as a visual.
Yeah, okay. So that's very effective when it's really dry, but not so obvious when it's too wet, I guess. And can we use the drones for that work as well?
We have explored that avenue, of course. It comes down to the ability to fly over private property, but we are certainly using our drones in more and more types of maintenance programs. Reservoir maintenance is another one. We're, you know, looking at inspections of any vermin proofing that may be damaged, things like that. So we're certainly exploring the usage of our drone, and this is also one of the paths.
So you said we drive along the route of the main just to check there's no wet patch and that sort of stuff. Yeah, we can do that in private property as well.
We of course ask permission from the property owners and make them aware before we enter in. That's part of our normal day-to-day business as usual.
Yep, good. Yeah. Okay, any more questions? Those in favour? That's carried. Item 12, page 32, performance of the systems. Someone like to move that way?
I'll move that.
Durkin, Councillor Benbrick. Thank you. Any questions?
Just one quick question, and I apologise to Noel for this. Could we get a little legend just to explain what R and RP and
sure.
DNR, I keep forgetting what they mean, just at the bottom somewhere, just what they mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, R and RP is remove and replace, okay the pipe. So, and DNR is a actual brand name of putting a clamp around. So if we have a split or something, we've got to cut the pipe out.
Okay.
That's where we'll do a repair and replace or remove and replace. But with the DNR, it's just a brand name of a clamp that will go around a leak and we'll clamp that down and hold it. It's a brand name. So, yes.
Well, it's pretty obvious.
Yes.
There's some acronym.
Yeah, again, John, just following on that question, there's a lot of lane breaks in and around Canaveral, and I see a couple along the Lobular Way, which is what's been welded, that's presumably the very old truck main. Is it truck main C that goes along the Lobular Way? Yeah, when I saw that, I know truck main C is on our list of infrastructure to replace in the long-term plan in the next not so long time. That just sends to me a message that yes, we're getting quite a few breaks along there, and it's important we make sure we stick to our plans to replace that. Is that a fair conclusion?
It's true, yeah, that is correct. We certainly base our priorities on our work with the results of this report on our main breaks. We certainly keep a large check on those, and of course our network operators, the last thing that they would like to do is to be called out in the middle of the night to fix a break on it. So there is a positive drive to get on top of these replacements wherever possible.
Any more questions? If not, those in favour? That's carried. Now, item 13, questions on notice. I think this is an opportunity for Councillor Newstead to move a motion. Is that right, Councillor Newstead?
That's correct.
And I think based on the discussion we had before the meeting, the motion would be something like this, if you're happy with this, Councillor Newstead, that a report be brought back to the October meeting of Council in relation to the dam levels at which water restrictions are applied, and the nature of those restrictions at each level.
Yeah, just the trigger points for each restriction that as they come in, that's correct.
Yep. I guess the heading on that would be review of water restrictions or something like that.
Is that what we're asking for? Because I mean, what you've got there is basically a copy of our water restriction policy.
Well, what I'm asking is that maybe we need to look at the trigger points for each level of restriction. Whether we need to change them, or especially in regards to level one. That's all.
So the the resolution or the motion would be that the report be brought back to the October meeting in relation to the trigger points for water restrictions.
Yep, that's not good here.
Will be. The trigger points are already set, aren't they, though? I mean, that's. If you're asking for a review of the trigger points, that has to be a whole council review, doesn't it?
Yes,
yes.
Well, this would be a report back to the council, do you?
Like I'm happy for them to stay the same, it's just that I'm being questioned by a few people in regards to the level one being at 100%. You know, and I know there's people out there that want to wash down their hard surfaces, but as it stands at the moment, because level one's always there, they can't do that. I'm just wondering, you know, whether we need to look at bringing in level one at, say, 90 or 95% of the dam capacity. Yeah, that's the discussion we have in October.
So, what, Gavel, me, who was recording this, what have we got at the moment at this motion?
Not me. Mr. Chairman, we have a report brought back to the October meeting in relation to the trigger points for water for each of the water restriction levels.
John, are you happy with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now is someone going to second that?
I'll second.
Councillor Walker, thank you. Any more discussion on this item?
I don't have anything negative, I was just thinking it just sounds like we're just asking, that's regarding, like if you want to just achieve that on the trigger point of level one, we should then be asking the staff to review the trigger point of level one and then make a recommendation to council on that trigger point. Ask to come back over the whole, you're just basically reviewing our whole policy, which is what we've already been through at the drought workshop, we've already been through it.
Yes, I think John made earlier was that, yes, level one was the important one, which is what's obviously topical at the moment, but he did mention moving to level five at an earlier point in time, and changing the other trigger points as well, I think. John, is that right?
Yeah, that was the discussion, but as was noted, that can be a very, what's the word I'm looking for,
Gaz? Catch-22.
Yeah, it's a catch-22, because although I'm looking at maybe CTW getting a bit of revenue by allowing people to use a bit more water at level, before level one, if you bring in level five at 50, well then you're cutting back again, so yeah, but look, it's up to the council. I'm just putting that forward because I have been asked by a few customers why we're at level one when the dam's overflowing. So mainly it is level one that I'm more concerned about.
All right, John, it's your motion. What do you want to restrict to just the level one?
This is what I had there, that a report be brought back to the October meeting in regards to water restrictions and the trigger points that restrictions are applied. Well, okay, we could put that down to, and the trigger point that level one is applied. If you're happy for level five to still be at 40%, we won't worry about that. So it's basically level one, yeah. So I just don't think level one should be at 100%.
You, Mr. Chairman, and for the other councillors' benefits, which I mentioned earlier, we'll also look at under their best practice management guidelines. There may be something in there regarding recommending level one permanently for all water utilities, but that's something I'll bring back in the report after I check that. And also, we could also emphasise if the main reason for looking at the trigger points is the usage of water to wash down hard surfaces. We also look at exemptions or notifying people to apply for exemptions for that use of water within certain times as well. But I'll bring that back in part of that report as well.
I think what we need to be clear about is we're not now talking about whether we change our trigger points or our restrictions or what the restrictions mean. We're just making it clear what councillors want the staff to look at least one council wants to move, if we look at this, and that's what we're debating, whether whether we simply get a report on this. Whether we change things or not will depend on the debate when we get the report back. So, again, I just to clarify this, we've been up and down a bit. Bean, can you tell me what the motion now is? or John, if you'd like to, have you got it there?
Okay. That a report be brought back to the October meeting in regards to water restrictions and the trigger point for level one and when that's applied.
Okay. That's the motion. I think Councillor Walker has seconded that.
Yeah, I think that the other triggers are right. I'm sure what John's coming at, but around the traps in the memorandum on before, people still hose me and their things, so it's not going to stop and do it anyway.
That's right.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, in relation to the title of the report rather than review of water restrictions, which might suggest that the council is looking at all the water restriction levels, can we just limit it to review of restriction level one or review of level one water restriction?
I think the motion is now restricted to review level one, yes.
Level one? Okay.
I'll be happy with that.
Okay. The motion is now clarified, it's been moved, it's been seconded.
Yep.
Any more debate? Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you, that's carried. And thank you, John, for moving that and carrying it forward. Now, we move to, we move back into open session. Someone move that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Councillor Walker seconded. Councillor Newstead, I think it was. Thank you. Those in favour, carried. And then we're back in open session. And the recommendation of the committee of the whole is as per the business paper, that the reconnection fee for the property listed for sale in accordance with the adopted fees and charges. Developer charges not be applied to the property, and the council requests planning council agree to share the net proceeds in proportion, in pro rata to their respective debts, and the council write off any remaining outstanding debt in respect of the property after the pro rata net proceeds of sale have been applied. So that ends this ordinary meeting of Super Table House Water.
I've got a late item, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, yes. Should have done that before we went to close. Sorry, yes, thanks very much for the reminder. Yes, item 15, we still have one item to deal with, which is a late item. Item 15, Central Water Grid Pipeline Project. Someone like to move the recommendation? Councillor Walker, seconded. Councillor Durkin, thank you. Any questions on this one? I guess I've got one question. Is this sort of come with a big brush at the end, Gareth, being a late item?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Noel and I were approached by Parkshire Council in consultation with Forbeshire last week to have a meeting regarding this project. Obviously, Parks have been pushing this project forward, and they also sent through that the report, which I forwarded on last night, the Operational Strategy Investigation Report, which was developed back in 2016 as a proposal, as an option for increased water security for the area, for the three councils, as part of the Central Water Security Study. So Parks, which I wasn't aware of, but they've been obviously pursuing grant funding for this project. And they've succeeded in getting that funding recently to continue on with this investigation and study. So they're at the stage at the moment, which I was a bit surprised that we haven't been notified, we weren't notified earlier, but they're at the stage where they're going out to meet with landholders, where they're going to have to access the landholders' land to do the, to carry on with the studies. And they're putting information together on behalf of the three councils to promote this promote this project. So they've engaged us to get approval to proceed on that basis. As I said, it was only last week that we had the meeting, and we've got the information through now. I think in the view of further regional collaboration, and we've spoken about this previously, obviously through the Central Water Security Study, but with those interconnections with other councils, particularly out at our Gullagong Bore with Forbes and Parks, it has been one of our strategies in place for over a long period of time. So with Parks getting this funding, this is the first step in pushing this project further forward. And as Noel said, and I think you touched on too, Mr. Chairman, this is another avenue, or it strengthens our case to increase our water security or water supply or water source at the Gullagong Bore site as well, to not only to help us out, but to provide an emergency backup for Parks and Forbes, and vice versa, it can come back the other way for Parks and Forbes to help us out if we're in need. So so just looking for council's endorsement for us, obviously, to proceed with this with our involvement in this project.
Yeah, I think, I mean, my take on it is this is really important. I mean, if we're looking at, for example, pressing the coast for a new large dam, and connections like this add to the business case enormously.
Yep.
I remember when we were trying to get the funding for Truck Bank K through Safe and Secure, they originally knocked us back and said we need, the business case didn't stack up, and then we, I think, went back to them arguing that if we ever got a connection to Parks and Forbes, then it would stack up, and I think we argued that, and I think the JO or Central Office for it has got a resolution on the books supporting this particular project as well.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a while. A couple of questions I've got is in that report you sent around yesterday, Gav, it talks about asset ownership at the Shire boundary. It talked about the two or three different ways it could be approached.
Yep.
And that was what was sort of, I believe back in 2016, that was the sort of preferred thoughts people had. Which is similar to what we're doing, for example, with Orange. It did occur to me that our asset here is going to be some, if it goes ahead, some new connection, some maybe new bore, new connection into the Gullagong Bore Field. Is that Gullagong Bore Field in Wet North Gabong, or is it in Cowra?
I think it's in Cowra, Mr. Chairman. It's in Cowra Shire, the Gullagong Bore area. So.
So that way of working out who should own which infrastructure sort of doesn't really apply, because it's not one of our constituent councils.
No, but it's in our supply area, I suppose, at this time. So that's something we would have to work through and make sure that was.
Yeah, well, that's something which no doubt will be sorted out in due course.
Yep.
And the other thing that occurred to me that. In a sense, this is a bit like the Orange Cowra CTW project, where you've got various bits and pieces of assets all on a sort of a grid, where we've got an agreement between the three councils. I would have thought that this project, before it gets so much further, should also have some sort of agreement, MOU or something or other, between the three councils.
Yeah.
The moment we're just saying we're endorsing our involvement in partnering. We're not sure at this stage what we're committing to, if anything, and we don't know anyway, neither does Parks, presumably. But I think at some stage, what we should be working towards is some sort of MOU with the three councils outlining how everyone's going to contribute to this regional grid project.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman, and that's a good question. There will be a draft water supply agreement drawn up and an MOU, I understand, as part of this project. We've just, as I said earlier, we've only had the initial meeting to engage with us, and the initial thoughts were, or the initial request was, they're doing up a flyer to go to the landowners to, when they're starting to consult with the landowners who would potentially be affected. They're asking, requesting for example, our logo to be a part, to be on that documentation, on that flyer, and then that following on from that will be a draft water supply agreement, or a water supply agreement will be drafted up between the three councils, and the asset ownership and the responsibilities for each area will be identified through that agreement. So that is one of the things that they will proceed with as well. So it will be similar to, as you said, with our connection with Cowra, as well as Orange. So there will be a water supply agreement in place for us, for the three councils. So, and stipulating once again why the water will be used for emergency use, to help increase water security for that area, for the three councils.
On page 13 of that proposal that we've got in front of us, it says key representatives of these stakeholders that have been involved with the project development are as follows: Parkshire Council, Andrew Francis; Fulshire Council, David Tinlan; Central Aberdeen Water, Leona Britt; and DPI Water, Matt Barnett. Now, that should be up. Is that current or is it going to be updated?
Well, they'll have to be updated, Councillor Walker. That was, that report was done back in 2016, December 2016. So this was the initial report that was done by DGP Water, and obviously Leonie was part of that process, or represented CTW at those initial workshops to get that investigation report completed. We hadn't heard anything since that report was done, and as I said, we've only been approached recently to update us on how this project, how it's proceeded from the Parks and Forbes Shire Councils, and with the funding that's now available. So obviously once this report was completed, Parks would have, must have applied for funding, and now they've just been successful in that funding, receiving that funding, so.
How many of those representatives still around?
All of them. All of them, except obviously Leonie, and we've got Noel in play now. Andrew Francis is still at Parks, David Chinlan at Forbes, and Matt Parmeter is still working for DPI Water.
Right, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, my biggest concern about this, I haven't had time to read that thing. I only received that last night. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing. I think it's too late a notice for me to make a decision on this. I think there's lots of questions that go along with it that we haven't been answered, haven't had a chance to be answered. Like I said, the owners of the infrastructure, who's responsible for the depreciation on those assets. I understand it's a great thing, we want to be connected, and we want to, we know that those connections are so important to the levels of lake, of you know, our arguments are raised levels of lake bottoms, which we all need. I do, but there's just a lot of questions regarding access, things like, you know, the amount of allocation you have at the board, is that going to affect that allocation? I mean, we've currently got, I think 3,500 people drawing off Willoughby board, times the drought in between Yugara, Willoughby and Wedden, and then Forbes and Parks got, 20,000 people. I just think there's lots of questions that it raises, which I'm happy to support, but I want to know the answers first. I think it's a cart before the horse, you know.
Yeah, but 3 years,
I've got very much sympathy with that view, which is why when Gav said this out, I asked for some background information, which we just didn't know what it was all about. And when we had our futures strategy workshop, the idea of CW taking the lead in establishing a simple type of water grid and so on was an important component. Now, this has come up a bit out of left field, not by not promoted by us, but voted by someone else, doesn't mean we shouldn't support it. But because CDW is the sort of the central cog in all of this, not this particular part of it, but with the connection with Cowra and the connection with Orange, and we're talking about water supply agreements with all the people we're connected with, it's for CDW, it's, there's a bigger picture here. And whilst the resolution, in a sense, is a bit innocuous, I think what you're saying, Paul, is really you think councils ought to pause and just take a bit more time to think of the long-term implications of this project. Not, it's happy to, the concept is fine, but you want to send a message that before we, you know, give a full long commitment to this, given us we didn't even know about it apparently until last week. We need to get a bit more information and have a fully documented and argued presentation just to support.
Yes, I'd agree. A bit similar in the way with Cowra Connection, we're all for it with the Cowra Connection, but it was sort of, here it was, put in front of us and say, here you go, this is our proposal. And we didn't really have a lot of time to make sure, you know, to think through all the possibilities associated with that. I think this is another one that we've just got to be careful of. Make the best decision for CDW.
Yeah.
So, just to get this clear then, Paul, you're foreshadowing, you're not in favour of the recommendation, or are you foreshadowing that you would move that this be deferred for consideration at the next meeting?
I think if there's, I think I'd like to defer it, really. And as you pointed out, with no MOU in place or anything like that, I find it hard to agree to it until we've got some sort of agreement between the councils that are involved. I'd like to see that first before we agree to, you know, as I said, it's something, well, we're not in charge of it. Once again, we were agreeing to it, but we're not in charge of the process.
Yeah. Just a comment I'll make is that this has been in the 2009, since 2009, what Central Water Security Study is an item, as a chairman said, that it was a recommendation on the Central books. These are preliminary investigations at this stage as well. There's a lot of work to be done, obviously, for this project, a lot of modelling and a lot of outcomes, as I said, a lot of things to go through with the water supply agreements as well. And I fully understand your concerns, but I just wanted to make it clear, and as the chairman said, we have, as an organisation, we have been aware of this concept for quite a period of time. It's now that one of the councillors have gained that funding to proceed further with it. But I've got no issues at all, though. If council would, I could see if we could get a presentation done by Parkshire Council and Forbes to present to council directly to provide more information on the project, if that's the way council wish to proceed.
Yeah, could we ask the views of other councils in relation to pausing and deferring this until we get some more information?
Yeah, I think we'd hold the blame if I agree with what the wind guys are saying.
Okay. John or Devon, before we work out what the resolution is going to be, or whether we move what's proceed with what's been moved. Have you got a view on this?
Yeah, the after, I haven't read the whole lot of that before, and it's what, 60 pages of it. But it, like I said, it was done a while back now. It's the rehashing, and obviously they've got some money or something, a chance of getting money. I've got to agree with what Paul's been saying, and maybe be cautious.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. One thing, for example, you may have seen this, I don't know, Parks must have put in, if they've got funding for this, they must have put in an application to DPIE or to someone for funding for this, which would have outlined the project in some detail.
Yeah, I haven't got that detail, Mr. Chairman, but also, as I mentioned in my report, obviously briefly, is that they got funding for a number of water security projects, and this was one of them. as a joint project, but the other projects are more specific to Parkshire Council's drought security or management of drought security issues. So they got funding for a whole range of projects, and this was just one of them that was added to their list. But I haven't been a party to any submissions.
I had a look through that whole thing. I just sort of went through it quickly. There's things in there that are a bit, I found a bit wishy-washy, like the good neighbour clause and all that sort of stuff. I'm not sure. I think we should spend a bit more time probably to go through it and have a closer look at it.
Yeah.
So I'm agreeable that we should hold off for a while.
Yeah. I think the main focus of the request was for CTW to support the project, I suppose. Not, as I said, we've got a lot to work through. We haven't, obviously, a water supply agreement hasn't been generated or developed yet, obviously, or agreed to. It was just the initial stage of being part of the project and having CTW's name out there as promoting, obviously, regional water security in the area based on our previous involvement with the Centrop Water Security Study. But I understand Council's concerns regarding this and happy to proceed with deferring support for this concept until further information is provided or presented.
Shouldn't we be part of the application process?
With you, Paul, I was surprised when we were first notified about this project. We didn't know there was funding being granted or they didn't apply for funding. So we weren't notified, we were kept out of that loop, and we'll just board in at this late stage.
And that's what I would have felt a lot better had we been involved in that process for a start. I said we weren't involved in it, and yep. That's why I feel like we need to just hold off and have a bit of like I said, and whether we can just get the mayors or the senior staff get together and have a discussion about it, then put another report back to council about it. I'm not sure that's a better way to go. But
yep.
So don't disagree with the project. I just think we should have been involved a little bit more from that point of view.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I just try and bring some regularity to this? We've had the recommendation moved and seconded. We could, given the view of councillors, which we've been expressing in the last 10 minutes or so, we could put that motion and it could be defeated. It might be better if we it was amended to along the lines of the council defer consideration of the Central Water Grid Pipeline project or its participation in the Central Water Grid Pipeline project. Pending receipt of further information.
Is it ever to withdraw the motion?
Well, I could put in there if the motion or the motion has been put, but then an amendment has been new resolution, Mr. Chairman, as you've just advised, we could put that as being the proposed amendment, and then. If councillor are happy to move and second that amendment, or second that amendment, then we can make that the motion.
Yes, Craig.
Can we also put in that we support the concept? We don't want to be saying that we don't want to do it, we just want to say we support the concept, we just need more information, maybe?
Yes, okay. Again, we're doing this on the fly a bit, so that the motion will... would be the council receives the lay item report. Secondly, that council supports in principle the idea of a water grid linking CDW parks and ports. But three, council defers further consideration of its involvement pending receipt of further information.
Very good.
Did you get that, Pete?
No. But I have the recording.
We've got the recording, so we'll...
The recording.
So we're receiving the late report, we're supporting it in principle, and we're deferring further consideration of our involvement until we see the further information.
Who moved that, Mr. Chairman? Move and second that, mate. After a recommendation.
Yourself, Councillor Walker, and Councillor Durkin.
I'm prepared if Councillor Durkin is happy to go with that amended thing.
So the Councillor Walker and Councillor Durkin have withdrawn their original motion and have moved that amended motion.
Yeah, good.
Yep.
Okay, and yeah, I would have thought that this is a really, really important project, and I think that the feedback you're getting is that Council expects to be involved in these things in a lot more detail, of these really important strategic initiatives. And for example, getting a copy of whatever ARC sent to whatever funding authority they've got money for about the projects about would be a good starting point as well.
Yeah.
Because the report that you sent around was a 2016 report. There must be something more recent than that, which ARC put together for their own council meeting, for example.
Yeah.
Or for the funding authority or something. There must be something out there without you having to create something, which we could all see.
Yep, I request that information. I did request our initial meeting council reports that have been presented to their council, and that was one of the ones that the information they sent through. So,
and have you had a meeting with Forbes in relation to this as well?
Forbes are on the teleconference. They had representation at the teleconference last week with us. So Forbes are on there. It was one of the, it wasn't David Tinlan, but it was one of their engineering managers on that. On that call.
Okay, thanks. Any more discussion about this item? That's been a good discussion. Thanks, everyone, and thanks for your clear thought that you've given to this and for reading a very short notice, the late item, as well as that lengthy report that we got. All right, I'll put that motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Jared, thank you very much. Now, I was a bit premature early, but I'm now okay. I think that brings to a conclusion that it's all the meeting of Central Table as water, so I thank you all for your attendance and look forward to seeing you at the next meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, councillors.